gritty Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. This is our Christmas episode.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
And Happy Chanukah.
And Happy Hanukkah.
And Kwanzaa. And no, Festivus.
Kwanzaa's not a real holiday.
You racist?
I'm starting off blazing out here. Kwanzaa was like made up in the 70s. I mean, like Christmas and like Hanukkah and even Ramadan, those are like hundreds of years old. And,
right.
It's like,
I don't know. Well, whatever you celebrate, happy whatever from us to
now
you.
Now that I've alienated
yes,
everybody.
Happy non-denominational winter celebration to
happy
all
Happy Possum
you.
Day.
Possum. Anyways. We are here to talk movies, of course. This week we're going to talk about National Treasure, the Book of Secrets. We're going to see what is in the Book of Secrets. Maybe. We're also going to walk hard with Dewey Cox.
That's right.
And we're going to find out why America loves Cox. And we're also going to talk Sweeney Todd.
That's what I've heard about you, at least.
We're also going to talk about Sweeney Todd, and we are going to write a letter and sign it, P.S. I love you. Or not.
I'm pretty sure we're already going to get bumped off the radio.
Yeah.
Are we a minute into this?
That is the official marketing campaign for Walk Hard is
really?
America Loves Cox. His name's Dewey Cox.
Okay.
That's totally appropriate.
That's fine.
All right. But before we get into all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. FatGuysTheMovies.com, which will probably be very soon the only place you'll be able to get a hold of us once we get kicked off the radio. You can also get us on iTunes, which they'll never kick us off. Go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys at the Movies.
Not that we won't try.
Not that we will not effort that. Search Fat Guys at the Movies in the iTunes store and we'll pop right up. If you'd like to email us with your complaints, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. And let's
jump right in because we got just a boatload of movies.
Let's talk
today.
About Nicolas Cage
That's
with a mullet.
Right. National Treasure, Book of Secrets. Nicolas Cage returns as Ben Gates, a treasure hunter, out to prove his great-grandfather was not involved in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
There is a book, and it has the information you need. The President's Book of Secrets. A collection of documents for President's eyes only. The truth behind the JFK conspiracy. The missing minutes from the Watergate tapes. And, of course, Area 51.
It contains all of our nation's secrets. I need to see the president's book.
The only way you'll ever see that book is if you get elected president.
I'm going to kidnap the president of the United States.
Wouldn't it just been easier for us to make an appointment?
So there you go. New National Treasure movie with Nicolas Cage, Diana Kruger. Everyone's back. John Voight. And yeah. They got the
Helen Mirren's in this one, isn't she?
Still somewhat sexy, Helen Mirren. I mean, I'm still
for you know
for an older lady. I mean, I saw Calendar Girls. I like.
I was down with her when she was in The Queen. I was like, man, The Queen's never looked so hot.
Okay. I think that's an accurate statement, but I don't know. She looked better in Calendar Girls.
All right, fair enough. So
and Caligula.
This is one of those movies that I did not see.
Which is more and more lately. Because,
well, you know, it's the holidays. I suck at life. You know, all these things just kind of pile up.
There you go.
But
well, let me tell you, National Treasure. If you this is one of those movies that you can honestly say if you like the first one, you're going to like this one. It's very similar. Same. Everyone's back. You know, it's the same director, same actors. And it's a pretty, especially for a sequel, it's a pretty doggone good sequel. It's completely ridiculous, completely out there. I mean, he's kidnapping the president of the United States.
Right.
He's breaking into Buckingham Palace.
I mean, he's never
Palace.
Done that before.
No, I mean, and it's completely unbelievable, utterly predictable, and it's absolutely a ride. It's a fun family adventure kind of movie. It's I loved it.
Okay, fair enough. I if somebody was asking me about it earlier this week and whether or not I was going to see it, and I said, well,
and you're like, I'm a film critic, of course I'm not going to see it.
I was like, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to see it because I had some scheduling conflicts, but I said, you know, I didn't really, I saw parts of the first one, and I'm not a big Cage
talk
fan.
About commitment.
But
like, I saw 20 minutes of the first one, and for that was 20 minutes looked,
you know,
pretty good
for what it is. They're not bad movies.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
if you go in expecting this to be, you know, The Departed, you're going to disappoint yourself.
Well, and ultimately with this film, it's
not going to be like Heat.
Well, it works because it's an action film. It's a lot of fun. So an adult can like it because it's a Jerry Bruckheimer action film. But there's nothing in it that's really racy, wrong, or obnoxious. It's low level violence. It's something you can take your kids to and they'll enjoy it too.
Right. Cool. So, well, moving on.
I'm gonna say it rocks.
All right. Awesome.
Moving on. We'll talk about Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story. This is John C. Reilly in his Golden Globe nominated performance as a legendary musician and his tumultuous rise to and fall from fame.
Dewey Cox needs to think about his entire life before he plays.
Ain't no 6-year-old understand the true meaning of the blues.
I reckon I might.
Cut my brother in half.
It's not bad for your first time.
Walk hard.
The Beatles won't hang out, so I'm gonna go do that.
With meditation, there's no limit to what we can imagine.
And you mentioned before we played the trailer that this is Golden Globe nominated.
Which blows my mind.
There's really no reason for that.
I love John C. Reilly, and I thought he earned his Oscar nomination for Chicago.
Right.
But this would be like nominating Will Ferrell for Talladega Nights.
Right.
That's what it is. It really feels like it's a movie that was written for Will Ferrell, and he's like, I don't have time to do it. Call my friend John from Talladega Nights,
right?
And he'll do it. And he does a great job in it. That's not a knock on him. It's just it's not the performance of a lifetime.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, it's right in there with the Judd Apatow produced.
Yeah.
So it's in that line. It's the third movie of the year. You had Knocked Up, Superbad, now Walk Hard. I think it's the kind of the dumb. They made the depraved teen comedy. They made the depraved adult pregnancy comedy. And this one's just like, let's do something absolutely ridiculous.
Well, what I appreciated about this is it's a spoof, really. It's a spoof on these musician lives like Walk the Line and Ray, which is funny because you look at those movies, they're so similar. I could see Judd Apatow going, well, now it's a genre on all its own. And, and you know, a few sinks get ruined in this movie, which is hilarious. I mean, there's some absolutely hilarious, laugh out loud, crazy moments that come out of nowhere. And it slows down, but it doesn't feel like a spoof. And that's what I like the most about it, is it doesn't feel like Airplane, or it's not Epic Movie or something like that.
Thank God.
Yeah, so merciful Lord.
Or Meet the Spartans, which is coming out next year.
It's going to suck.
Yes.
So my grade for this one is I want to say kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. All right, cool. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk Sweeney Todd and P.S. I Love You. And we're back here on Fat Guys the Movies, and one of the things that I've totally left out of the entire show so far is that we're going to talk about Charlie Wilson's War starring Tom Hanks.
This other movie that had a couple nominations, I hear.
No, it's not a big deal at all. of course, and I mean, what's funny about it is you actually saw Charlie Wilson's War.
Which you didn't, even though he had two chances to.
I know, and I also have mentioned P.S. I Love You a few times. Neither one of us even saw that movie.
Well, P.S. I Love You, when we get to it, I'll explain why I didn't see it.
Yeah, so let's do Charlie Wilson's War.
This is Tom Hanks stars as an insignificant congressman who spearheads the U.S.-sponsored covert war against the Russians in Afghanistan.
I'm standing on the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Afghans are now ready to fight a war against the Soviets. If they get weapons, they say they will win.
Why is Congress saying one thing and doing nothing?
Well, tradition mostly.
You sit at the intersection of the State Department, the Pentagon, and the CIA. The three agencies you would need to conduct a covert war.
Yeah. What is U.S. strategy in Afghanistan?
Well, strictly speaking, we don't have one, but we're working hard on that.
Who's we?
Me and three other guys.
You know, the one thing that I like this movie. I'm going to start off saying that, which is rare because I've a lot of these politically charged movies I've kind of disliked.
This one doesn't seem like it takes itself too seriously, though.
Well, this is the thing about it is I remember watching it going, what's the purpose of this movie? Because it's funny. It has some funny moments. It's told as a comedy. It takes place in the 80s. And I remember thinking, you know, obviously like Lions for Lambs, you're like, you never asked what's the purpose of this because they preach it from the whole beginning to end.
You get it.
Yeah, this movie is sort of like just almost this historical dramedy type thing.
Right.
But then like the last 5 minutes is this bitter little pill of message. And it's they kind of give a little bit of a message at the end, and they sneak it in there, and you're like, okay, I like that. And then they like bang you over the head for like 2 minutes, and then they're done with the movie. So I respect the fact that they kind of crammed it at the end.
Okay.
You know? And they didn't have it permeating throughout the whole movie, but I wish they would have ended it. They could have like lopped off the last two scenes and that would have been okay.
Oh, fair enough.
And still kept the message. Although it's odd because, of course, you know, the whole thing is that we funded the Afghan rebels, and then they're the ones who kind of were taken over by the Taliban, and then they blew up our buildings.
Right.
Which that's sort of, that's, and that, you know, that's a point, but they never really hit you with that until the end when they hammer it into you.
Right.
But what's funny is if you really take it to the nth degree, it's like Mike Nichols saying, you know, we need to stay in Iraq forever.
Right.
And it's like, I'm like, is that what he's trying to say? I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't. Whatever.
But it's funny. So. Philip Seymour Hoffman's hilarious, and he totally deserves the Golden Globe. Nobody else really does in the movie. Not that it's a bad movie, but it's decent.
It just stands out. Yeah. Cool. So official grade?
Kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. All right, cool. Moving right along to another release, which
that
is,
you actually saw.
And you have not.
And I have not.
This is awesome.
Yes. I'm going to. It's just... Yes. There's a certain scheduling issue we're not going to get into.
Yes. Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, Johnny Depp reunites with Tim Burton in this dark musical about a barber who cuts a little bit more than hair.
All right! You, sir! No one's in the chair. Come on! Sweeney's waiting. I want you, bleeders. You, sir! Too, sir. Welcome to the grave. I will have vengeance. I will have salvation.
I can guarantee the closest shave you will ever know.
You're poking mad.
I have to ask you this, just as somebody who hasn't seen this.
Yeah.
Does the singing get in the way or does it work?
The singing, I tell you what, I saw an interview with Stephen Sondheim, who wrote the musical, and he talked about how
that's the guy who wrote Godspell, too.
Something like that, yeah. They changed some of the music bits from the musical to fit the movie.
So they made it a rap musical? Kid Rock?
No, not really. But they changed it to allow the movie to flow better, and I thought that was the key, was it works. It's kind of like The Nightmare Before Christmas, where the music is always moving the story along.
Mm.
So I thought it was great in that sense. I think Tim Burton really has a knack for delivering a musical that it doesn't feel like it's a stage musical just on film. They adapted it to the point where it feels like a movie that's set to song.
Like, and I Chicago.
Yeah, similar to Chicago, similar at Moulin Rouge to a certain extent. But I thought there were a lot of great performances. Obviously, Johnny Depp.
But it wasn't like the producers. That's Steve.
No, God, I hate the producers. But Johnny Depp was good. You know, he does sings very well. But I tell you who there are two different performances. One is all the young actors. There's three, the little kid and the two young lovers are just fantastic. Mm. And Helena Bonham Carter just comes in and steals this as Mrs. Lovett.
Is she pregnant in this movie?
She's not pregnant in the movie, but in the, you're going to see on Film School Rejects some of the video interviews from the junket where she's really pregnant.
Did she squirt out a baby on screen or
she may
like that?
Have. Okay. But I thought it was, I'm glad that Tim Burton went the extra step and made it very bloody and very kind of over the top and very in the essence of what the play was about. The play was very dark and very kind of scary.
So was it like that segment in Jersey Girl?
Yes, it was very similar to the segment in Jersey Girl. Don't go, you can't go into, I absolutely recommend this movie. It totally rocks. But don't go into it expecting a really like lighthearted musical. It's not a family movie.
It's about a barber who kills people.
It is a bloody, beautiful mess of a film, and the music is great. The performances are fantastic. I think it's easily one of the better movies that we've seen the entire year. And I think I think you will agree with this when you see it.
I'll probably like
we can
it,
check
I'm
in
sure.
with you next week on this, but I think you'll agree that this just totally rocks. Yeah, so
I'll probably like it.
Fair enough.
Cool.
What do we got next?
Well, the next movie neither of us have seen, P.S. I Love You, Hilary Swank
choice.
Learns to live in love again after her fiancé dies. And we have no trailer for this because I'm lazy and I didn't cut one.
Right.
Because I haven't seen it, you haven't seen it, and instead of reviewing the film, I'm going to tell you why I didn't see it. Because it was playing at a theater across town the same night Sweeney Todd was, and I was totally planning on going. And Neil calls me and he's like, pulls it, and it's like the biggest shopping mall outdoor monolith.
Right. Yeah, if you live in Columbus, Easton Town Center, yeah,
it's huge in the world. It's huge. And they, of course, like dropped the screening like a week and a half before Christmas on a Thursday night. And I get a call from Neil, and he's like, oh my God, there's like parking garages are filled, and there's only one place that has any spaces. Mm-hmm. And I'm like a half hour away, and I'm like, well, I'm not going. And so I took my kids swimming at my health club.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm protesting this movie.
I will say one thing for P.S. I Love You. My mom's looking forward to it.
Well, your mom loves Gerard Butler. She stalks Gerard Butler.
She would stalk Gerard Butler.
Did she move to Ireland?
No, but I'm sure she would. It looks cool. We've got a giveaway on filmschoolrejects.com if you want to win some stuff from the movie.
But it's Hillary's
If you're
wife.
Really into that sappy stuff, go see it. But otherwise, we shall return.
This is her movie, this and Freedom Riders.
Yes.
Deck the halls with parts of Charlie. Fa la 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 la. Make the Yuletide Grinch.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Whoa, 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 Kevin. Whoa. Yes. What's going on here?
We are Chipmunks again in honor of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, I thought we were going to be zombies in honor of I Am Legend.
Well,
no.
Okay, cool, fine. I don't think it would come across as well because it would be. That's what it would be. Nice. And it'd be like an entire segment of that. And what's funnier than that? Nothing except us as chipmunks.
As we heard. Yeah, but back by popular demand is us as the little chipmunks. But you should be the chubby one, and
we're
I would
both
be the
chubby dude.
One,
and fat guys at the movies. This is just fat monks at the movies.
Fat monks.
Yes.
Fat monks.
Fat friars.
What?
We are the fat friars.
How'd you
fat
go
monks?
From a small rodent to a priest?
No, a friar's not a priest. A friar's a brother.
The good news is Chipmunks
not
don't
a brother
touch
like a
little
above
kids.
Us, but a brother.
Okay, fair enough. Anyways, so we're doing this in celebration of the fact that Alvin and the Chipmunks made $45 million in the box office last
which
week.
Which I fell off my chair.
Which I'm pretty sure everyone was like, what the hell?
There was a collective, huh?
But it did come in second to I Am Legend.
Yes.
Dropping $77 million on the box office.
That's right.
And of course, the debate has been raging ever since whether the Batman trailer had anything to do with...
Which I will go back. I will say, I think there's a certain amount of people that went to see the Batman trailer, but I don't think... If you would have waited until this week and put the Batman trailer in front of P.S. I Love You, it's not going to make $77 million.
Right, well, I think there were...
It's not going to make $7 million.
It caught a lot of the fringe people. The people were like, well, I don't know if I want to go see I Am Legend because it looks okay, but is it worth it? But then they were like, oh, and the Batman trailer? All right, I'm in.
I think it put some people over the hump, but really, honestly, I can't... It's not like it was going to make $56 million and then because the Batman trailer was in front of it, it made $21 million.
I think it might have got a $10 million bump.
I don't even think $10
million.
Because
I think it caught the people in the middle, the people who would have waited till the next weekend, or maybe just
waited. There's some rabid
DVD.
People out there who really, really want to see Batman, but they are such a small percentage. It's like Star Wars. I remember when they were getting ready for the Star Wars Episode 1, they dropped the trailer in front of the Siege.
Right.
And like, there were literally people who went and saw the Star Wars trailer before the Siege and left before the Siege even started. Mm-hmm. The Siege didn't make that much money. Mm, yeah. So it wasn't like it became a block, but it's not a
We'll see how rabid the fans are next July when the Dark Knight comes out. But I will say that it looks pretty damn cool.
It looks cool. So I'll give it to you.
Even in the Chipmunk voice, it looks cool.
It looks cool. I mean, we might even play the trailer. You know, should we play the trailer? Should we play part of the trailer in the Chipmunk voice? Let's play part of the trailer.
Where they're like, what?
Let's play the part of the trailer. No, part of the Batman trailer.
Oh.
As Chipmunk. So this will be Batman as Chipmunks.
Knives and lint.
Evening, Commissioner. Why so serious?
Where is he?
People are dying. What would you have me do?
Endure. You can be the outcast. You can make a choice that no one else will face. The right choice. Gotham needs you.
A little fight here. I like that.
Then you're gonna love me.
Now that's more like it, Miss Wayne.
Part of the plan.
Hit me!
Let's put a smile on that face.
So there you go.
There you go. That's what Batman would sound like if they were chipmunks.
That's right.
Or if Heath Ledger as the Joker as a chipmunk.
And that's why we're doing this again, because everybody we talked to, we're like, oh my God,
that's awesome. All three of them loved it.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, and I realized what it is.
Including my mom.
You could take, and we didn't even have Gerard Butler on this.
I know. If we had him in a chipmunk voice,
oh
my God,
yeah,
my mom would be a fan for life.
Absolutely. Well, my theory is you can take anything. Like, you can take like the worst thing to watch ever, like on, you know, like actors. You can take like Steven Seagal and Barbara Streisand and have them do a love
scene. Or like Richard Roper reviewing movies.
And you'd be like, this is awful. And then you put them in chipmunk voices and it'd be brilliant.
Nice. What are we talking about here? Box office. Okay.
Box office.
So this weekend, moving on. So we know I Am Legend, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Golden Compass was in third, Enchanted, No Country for Old Men. No Country for Old Men is still.
Well, you said that that Golden Compass was going to be fifth. Do we get a push up out of you? For
no,
that?
We don't. I don't bet push ups.
Does anyone get a push out of
nope,
you?
Nope.
If it was like a gun to your head,
nope,
you'd be dead.
I'm good
because you couldn't do a push up.
I can do a push up. I just don't want to. I don't have to.
Our producer Richard is shaking his head. He's saying no chance that Neil will do a push up.
You want?
You know what I say?
I'm just not gonna do it.
Me, I wanna hula hoop.
You just said that because you're in the
chipmunk voice. Because I'm in the chipmunk voice.
I'm not doing
really,
the chipmunk voice.
This would be colossally stupid if we did it in real
time. Oh, God. Right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so coming out on December 21st, we have National Treasure Book of Secrets in 3,500 plus theaters.
Mm-hmm.
We have Charlie Wilson's War in 2,500. Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story in 2,500 theaters. P.S. I Love You in 2,200 plus theaters. Sweeney Todd is only in 1,000 theaters. But I think it's getting a bigger release after Christmas.
It's technically a limited release. I've seen
and
it listed as a limited. And it'll widen.
It's going to spread its
Which is
its
weird.
Wings.
Why are they doing a limited in like 1,000 theaters? That's what I don't understand.
It's kind of like when they did the Golden Compass, like the 850 theater sneak peek the week before.
Yeah, but this isn't a sneak.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, either way, I think it's going to be tough. I think I Am Legend still has the ability to be up there, but I almost want to say I agree. National Treasure, I think Walk Hard's going to be second. I just think there's
a lot of buzz.
There's not
this.
Been, yeah, there's been
oh, well,
the
no,
marketing
wait,
the crap
wait, wait,
out of
Are you saying National Treasure, then Walk Hard, then I Am Legend?
I Am Legend, yeah.
That's possible.
And then,
it's just not in as many
And then
theaters.
Alvin and the Chipmunks in fourth, and then you get into P.S. I Love You.
P.S. I Love You.
Charlie Wilson's
fifth.
War.
And Charlie Wilson's War. It's going to be low, and I'll tell you why.
Because they're not marketing it.
If they're not marketing it, it's also, it's really not, it's not a bad movie. It's a decent movie, but it's not a movie that's going to draw people out
right.
to see it. And I think it is weighted down with this stigma of every single other war-related political movie has bombed.
Right.
With the exception of The Kingdom, which really wasn't a war
movie.
That
was more of an action movie.
Yeah,
than anything else.
Everything else has bombed. And
it was like
and,
Friday Night Lights in the desert.
Yeah, Charlie Wilson's War was lucky that it got nominations before. I really don't
before
think it's going to do
released,
well, as,
yeah.
as, even though it's a good movie.
Fair enough.
And I will tell you this, if you have yet to see Charlie Wilson's War, when Fat Guys at the Movies becomes this big, huge monster show,
mm-hmm.
which is like, 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, next year.
I have decided how I'm going to run our office, and it's going to be just the way Charlie Wilson runs his office, with people like Rachel Nichols and Sherry Appleby in tight little skirts and unbuttoned blouses.
I'm not opposed to that.
That's the way it's
going to
be, dude. That is how we will roll, that's how I roll, how I will continue to roll.
Yeah, cool.
That was probably sounded really creepy as a chipmunk.
Yeah, really creepy as a chipmunk. Anyways.
Email us, people. Fat Guys at Film School Rejects. Let us know if we should keep doing chipmunk segments.
Yeah.
Or if we should just do the whole show.
Yeah,
with fat
I don't
chipmunks
know.
At the movies.
Yeah, we should just change format. But anyways, moving on. So now that we've got that out of the way, box office, we need to talk about some giveaway stuff.
Yay!
We need to talk about the two giveaways that just ended. One
giveaway
was
Hula Hoops.
One was for the Simpsons movie on DVD.
That's right.
Which is a caption contest, which is, if you didn't see that picture, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yes. Thanks to Richard.
Yes, thanks to our producer Richard for making that up for us. So we got some winners, and there's a couple that I'm going to read. There's a couple that I'm not going to read. The first one was from
some winners?
A gentleman named Charlie Sherwin. We're not going to read his because it's like
it's
a
novel.
Book.
I mean, he like actually wrote a script for the next Simpsons episode,
yes.
I think.
So, I mean, for
pretzels.
Charlie, we appreciate the effort.
Richard just got pretzels. Can I have some pretzels?
No.
No, I don't need pretzels. Were you going to give me pretzels?
Those did not come
yeah,
from the
give
kitchen.
Me pretzels.
That's the weird part. Those did not come from the kitchen.
Well,
they came from the
Did they bedroom. Come from a bag? No, they're like, are they moist? Are they on your hand? Nice.
I don't.
I hope that didn't.
I'm good.
I hope that didn't. These are quality pretzels. Are these like rolled golds?
Hey, are we gonna finish the show here?
Oh yeah, hold on. Go on.
We're definitely not eating pretzels, or you're eating pretzels.
I mean pretzels.
In the chipmunk
as a chipmunk.
So Charlie Sherwin, you are our first winner for your extremely long-winded answer. It was a pretty awesome story. If you haven't seen it, go to filmschoolrejects.com. Go to the contest. Hit contest in the menu bar, and the Simpsons one is there.
And you don't want to link off of Fat Guys at the Movies because
yeah,
somebody who put that up didn't
link up there,
right?
Yes. The next one comes from a person named G Merrill. And it just said, realizing that he beats Kevin by 3 hairs, Homer decides to make him his new best friend in an attempt to become the good-looking one, which is also why I joined the radio show, because I knew that I was instantly going to be the good-looking one. So Homer Simpson and I...
Well, I'm the most compelling, I think, in this argument.
Compelling for something. Gravitational, maybe.
Whatever.
Then
Your mom.
The,
Your mom
the next one came from someone named Holy Zigmar.
I think they were baptized, Holy Zigmar.
Yeah.
I see this priest going, I now baptize you, Holy Zigmar. And he blew up.
And the caption is as follows. As Bart lands on Homer's stomach, his fresh can of Duff flies out of his hand, flying towards Kevin and hitting him in the head, causing him to drop the barrel. As the family tends to Kevin, which I don't know why they would,
hey!
A large rumbling is heard, and it's none other than Jack Bauer, who's back and wants some revenge. This time, he says he's taking the entire Simpsons cast, Neil and Kevin, with him, as he opens his jacket to reveal a bomb, to be continued.
Wow.
This one wins because it references our other caption contest.
That was my 24 music.
It referenced our other one with Jack Bauer, which we announced the winners last week. And Holy Zigmar, holy crap, you're a winner. So, and the last one, there's no, the second contest, there was no caption contest to this, it was just that 70 show
How
season.
Much do you love Fez is the whole
Yeah, it was just I love Fez. And the only one is, there's a girl named Michelle who emailed in, and she said, in her, the requirements were that you emailed contest at filmschoolrejects.com with, I love Fez in the subject line. And she put, I love Hyde, not Fez, in her subject line, and then explained it. Went on to explain it.
Creativity wins with contests.
Yes, and she said in her email, the necessary words are there, I just can't say what you want me to, I have principles. So, Michelle, based on your principles, we would like to send you a free DVD.
We hope you have less principles, you can always email us pictures if
yes.
you like.
Our other winner is Jill from Pennsville, North New Jersey.
North New Jersey. I don't know, maybe Southern New Jersey.
North Jersey.
Somewhere in New Jersey.
Geraldine from Boca Raton, Florida. And Mike D from Blank.
And Justin from Tampa, Florida.
And Justin from Tampa, Florida. So lots of Florida listeners.
We're popular in Florida.
Whatever.
Those old people love us, and that's how
you
show
love us. So, and if you're down with some giveaways, we have two brand new giveaways up over at Film School Rejects. They're not Fat Guys Caption Contest, because I know you guys love those, but we are giving away a couple of Sweeney Todd autographed posters, which is very cool.
We're also giving away some blood.
We're also giving away some blood, because there was plenty of it spilled in that movie.
Don't ask us whose blood.
Yeah.
We just found it.
We just, on the street, in Columbus, Ohio. And then we're also giving away some HD DVDs of Balls of Fury. We're also, with the HD DVDs, we're giving these paddles away. And I wish we don't have them yet, because it would have been kind of a fun prop to like hit each other with during the show. Because I probably would have beat your ass with a paddle.
Yeah, whatever. Your mom.
Hey, my mom listens to this show.
Your mom and Gerard Butler. That's what I have to say.
So if you'd like to win the HD DVD, it's also the regular DVD. It's the combo disc. If you'd like to win a DVD copy of Balls of Fury and a pair of ping pong paddles.
You want high definition balls.
High definition Balls of Fury paddles. Just head on over to filmschoolrejects.com and click on contests in the menu bar.
We're going to have more caption contests coming up in January in the new year.
We got a couple good ones.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep. I think we're getting such a good response from these that we're actually going to start to seek out and get more cool stuff for you guys. And,
either that or what this is, we're actually just going to do a whole bunch of these and then stop doing them and just steal all the DVDs from the publicist.
Right. Fair enough. And we're also going to employ some sweatshop labor to make more pictures. So for the caption contest.
More sweatshop labor?
We do. Yes. So that's all we have. I think we're out of stuff to talk about.
Thank God.
When we come back in the second half of our show, in honor of Christmas, we're going to run down our top 10 Christmas movies, our top 10 favorite Christmas movies of all time. Yeah. We're also going to talk about some topics, including, but not limited to, a certain member of the Spears family who is pregnant. And
Mr. Spears.
We shall be back.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
And we're back here, Fat Guys at the Movies. We're in honor of Christmas.
In honor of Christmas.
In honor of Christmas.
How kind of you. How big of you
Christmas,
to honor Christmas.
It's like, I mean, but we should have just done a show where we're like, we don't mention Christmas at all.
We'll be like, you know, hey.
It's the anti-Christmas show.
We can sit there and talk about, you know what holiday I'm looking forward to?
Easter.
Groundhog Day. Can't wait. Only a month and a half till Groundhog Day.
But anyways, we've got to talk about Christmas. And when you talk about Christmas, you always get into that discussion of what are your favorite Christmas movies of all time. So we've come up with our patented top 10 list.
And a couple weeks ago, we did the worst Christmas movies.
We did the worst Christmas movies. So these are the best Christmas movies in our minds.
That's right.
And
fortunately, there isn't anything that shows up on both lists, which would be kind of embarrassing.
Almost.
We actually did. I almost suggested Santa Claus Conquers the Martian because it's both
so
good
there.
And bad.
Yeah. But there's one in our honorable mention that there's a different version made the other list. So, but we'll start with number 10. You can do number 10. This one's yours.
Yeah, let's just do it as whichever one we really contributed to the list. Number 10 is The Santa Claus, which the third movie is on the top 10 worst. But The Santa Claus with Tim Allen as a guy who puts on a Santa suit and becomes Santa Claus. It's actually a really cute movie.
Best part about that movie, Judge Reinhold plays a character named Neil Miller in that movie.
I know, yes.
Which is pretty fantastic because Judge and I are soulmates. In a really
as
weird...
opposed to him in the Clerks cartoon playing a judge named Judge
Reinhold. Yeah. So number 9 is one of my personal favorites.
Not mine.
Muppets Christmas Carol, which had Michael Caine in it as Ebenezer Scrooge. Kermit the Frog.
As Neil Miller.
As Neil Miller. And Miss Piggy was there too.
Miss Piggy.
It's one of those movies that's great to, you know, you get... You go with, you know, you go to your family's house, and I have a lot of aunts and uncles, so I have a lot of cousins.
I don't
ranging
go to your family's house.
Big age range, so we have a lot of little
like
cousins.
Big,
so.
Huge, fat cousins. Tiny, little, thin cousins.
Huge, huge, fat cousins.
Do they listen to this show? Because you ain't getting no figgy pudding after this one, man.
But anyway, so, I mean, it's a good movie to sit down with the entire family and, you know, especially little kids, and watch on Christmas.
What is figgy?
Right, you know what yours is next. Let's see if you
I
want to
know
yours.
First, what is figgy pudding? Do you know what figgy pudding is?
I've never
Sounds
had
like a rapper. It's like figgy pudding arrested.
Figgy pudding arrested on drug trafficking charges.
Oh, this is not going to be as funny when you listen to it.
I'm
pretty
sure. His debut album was Getting Figgy With It.
Oh my word.
And the lead track was Pudding Pounding.
I think we've created a star. Anyways, going back to the list, number 8, Gremlins. Now, it didn't take, it's not about Christmas, and it didn't come out at Christmas. It actually came out in the summer.
But it
took place at Christmas because he got him a Christmas present, which was the Mogwai.
Yeah.
And any movie where you, any PG movie that has an animal explode in the microwave is a great Christmas movie.
It's just a great Christmas movie.
Just it is. Doesn't matter. You could take a terrible Christmas movie, you know, like Fred Claus, and blow something up in the microwave, and it would be awesome. Mm-hmm. That is how
the
it
soundtrack
works.
By
my Figgy Pudding.
Figgy Pudding. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Email anyway. Us and let us know if this is as funny as it sounds to us.
Oh man,
please.
It's just gonna sound like one big bleh.
So. I'm sure it'd be hilarious if we were doing it as chipmunks.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Anyway, so moving on from Figgy Pudding to
is this one mine
to number
is
7. This one's yours as well.
Home Alone.
Home Alone, which
hilarious,
is a fantastic
movie.
Christmas movie.
Absolutely awesome Christmas movie. Fun for adults, fun for kids. And I remember when it came out, people were dropping their shorts because they were so surprised.
Oh, how good it was.
And I wasn't around when the shorts
dropped. And
that was,
you know, honestly, it was the last time that any member of the Culkin family was not on some kind of recreational drug.
Or
so.
On some pop star's bed.
Cool. What pop star?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. What pop star? What other pop star molests children? That's what I want to know. Can you
probably
tell?
Probably a lot of them.
Figgy Pudding, he does. He was arrested last week for that.
Figgy Pudding, puddingpounding.com. Anyways, moving on to number 6. Number 6 is actually probably my favorite, my favorite sappy Christmas romantic comedy of all times. Love Actually.
Does Keira Knightley get naked in it?
No, but she's,
then I will not watch
pretty
it.
Good in it. And I will tell you, it's one of those movies that you don't expect. You expect it to be just kind of cheesy and British. And
cheesy
which,
and British?
Which, you know,
which
are never,
hand in hand.
Never two things that go well together. But it's just a really sweet film. And it's, you know, you get the little kid who wants to play
get
the drums so that he can
get figgy with it.
Get figgy with it. Wow. There's something wrong with that. But I tell you what, it's one of those movies, if you watch it, it's kind of like, it's got, you know, 3-4 different stories that meld together and then intertwine. It's kind of like Crash, but not depressing. And
no, Crash, not Crank.
Not Crank. But it's just a fantastic film. So, moving on.
Our producer, yeah. Richard, is showing us some Figgy Pudding pictures.
Figgy Pudding.
Figgy Pudding.
Oh, wow.
Putting it in you. Anyways, putting a little figgy in you.
Putting it down.
Anyways, number 5 is A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Figgylicious.
Tim Burton's Figgylicious stop-motion animation film. from the 1990s. What's great about this movie, not only is it an awesome Halloween movie, it's an awesome Christmas movie, and it also, they're re-releasing it every year in 3D now, which it's keeping it alive, and I think it's great. It has great music to it. It's Figgylicious. Well, number 4, is this one mine too? I mean, you can
no,
do this
I'll
one
this
if you
one
want.
A Christmas Story, because this is one of those that takes me back to my childhood. And
when you were a child in the 40s in Cleveland?
In the 40s. Well, I've seen the house where they filmed A Christmas Story, because it's, you know, kind of right in the neighborhood where I grew up. And, well, not exactly, but same city.
In Cleveland.
Cleveland. Yeah, I know. But
a city of like a million
people.
For
some reason, my family, my aunts and uncles, and, well, everybody.
The fat cousins.
The huge cousins that I have, apparently, are all obsessed with the Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye out thing, or they have been for the last, you know, 15, 20 years. So it's one of those movies that I always watched on Christmas, and, you know, my mom loved it. And basically anything my mom liked to watch when I was little, I had to watch, too.
So you loved anything with Gerard Butler in it.
Jeez, oh man. I tell you what, I this is a tangent, but
old,
I feel
like British soap operas.
I feel bad for my little brother because he still lives at home. And my mom has literally gone on a quest to find everything that Gerard Butler's ever been in.
So
she's
like
making
watching,
much like Dear Frankie and Miracle Match and just all these just really Irish films. And I mean, and all the soundtracks are done by like Figgy McPudding.
Figgy Bigfoot? Yeah. Is your brother sitting at home watching like athlete's foot commercials with Gerard Butler going, you know, and I have that itch and between my toes I use Figgy McPudding's, you know, jock itch formula on my feet. I don't know, whatever. Should we move on?
Yeah.
This one's yours too.
All right. Number three is my all-time favorite Christmas movie. Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. The best, I swear, it's because it reminds me of every family road trip I've ever been on.
It's like
every
anywhere.
Family get together. Every family get together is like this, where you
burn a cat, you blow up a cat, and you and your huge cousins come in and set fire to the family cat.
It's like,
and then go sledding at 90 like, miles
Bethany,
an hour.
Aunt Bethany, do you want to say Grace? Grace, she died 20 years ago.
Is that what happens in your house?
But I bet the best line of the whole film is Randy Quaid out on the. Out there in his bathrobe, emptying out the store, the sewage, and the neighbor comes out, and he looks at him, he's like, shitter was full. It just keeps going. And Chevy Chase is like, and I'm looking at the
white morning sewer
and
well.
A jackass in his bathrobe emptying
this
his
happens this happens to you
a storm sewer. No, it was I just
like,
that's,
I, it
that's
reminds
so
me of
awesome.
My Christmases at home.
I tell you what, it is the last great National Lampoon's movie.
Well,
I mean,
it's definitely the last great vacation movie.
Probably the best vacation movie by far. But my all time favorite Christmas movie. I watch it every year on Thanksgiving as a tradition.
Why don't you watch it on Christmas?
Because I watch other movies on Christmas.
Like
okay. Can I just watch
like
something?
Because you're at your mom's house and you got to watch Gerard Butler movies.
Yeah, we have to watch Gerard Butler's Christmas Story
until Gerard Butler plays like the Grinch.
We should
like,
actually
I
go.
I am just the Grinch.
In honor of my mom and her love for Gerard Butler, we should go on a campaign to see if we could just get him to play in everything. Because it feels like next year he's going to be in everything anyways.
We need to get Gerard Butler to do an interview.
Yeah.
And then your mom must worship us.
Well, yeah. I mean, she totally would.
Yeah.
If I ever met Gerard Butler, oh, man. She'd be
she'd
so
be like,
proud.
Don't wash your hand. I didn't even shake his hand. Don't wash it. It was near him. Anyways, getting back to the list, now that the segment's like 30 minutes long, number two on the list is Miracle on 34th Street. Not all the crappy remakes, the good one. The first one with Maureen O'Hara and Natalie Wood and that guy who played Santa Claus, who I can't remember his name right now. But this is one of the best Christmas movies ever. It's so heartwarming, so touching. It lives even today. They've tried to remake it a million times and failed every time.
Yeah.
But it's still an awesome movie.
Yeah. Too much figgy pudding in the last one.
That's right. They have way too much figgy with Richard Attenborough doing his version.
And the girl from Matilda.
Yeah. So number one, is this one mine too?
Yeah, this one's totally yours.
Big surprise, It's a Wonderful Life. The best Christmas movie ever made. It still is one of the best Christmas movies ever made.
Every time a bell rings.
It's cheesy
Kevin
and corny.
Kevin Carr gets some wings.
But it's awesome. Well, yeah, every time I go and get some chicken wings. That would be great. Every time a bell rings, it would be awesome at the end of the bell rings, and then you see Clarence there chomping on
some
chicken wings.
You're like Pavlov's dog. You like hear a bell, and you're like, I got to get chicken.
Chicken
Where's
wings.
The chicken?
Where's
Give
my
me some chicken.
Chicken wings.
So
anyways, I love It's a Wonderful Life. Makes me cry. I'm a blubbering idiot.
I think we should just get a video of that. Put it on the website. Instead of doing an episode next week, we're just going to have Kevin crying at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. It'll be the post-Christmas depression show.
There you go.
So honorable,
I'll be new.
Honorable mentions. This one I actually fought fairly hard for to get into the top 10, but it
but
failed
I shot
miserably.
It down.
It's Scrooge with Bill Murray. How can you knock a movie with Bobcat Goldthwait in it? I mean,
Summer School.
God, he is just money. He is so money.
Oh yeah, that's why he's making $20 million a picture.
Yeah, but
him and he's up. He's on. He's right up there with Katherine Heigl. You know, he said his last movie is a little sexist.
Just a little bit. Wow.
All right. My other one is Black Christmas. As a horror movie fan, I have to
the original, right?
The original, yeah, not the crappy
remake. Made our worst. List.
Yeah, no, the remake was a absolute turd.
Yes,
an
burger.
Absolute turd. Yeah,
a McPudding turd.
Yeah, a Figgy McPudding turd.
Yeah,
and Black Christmas, the original '70s version, was a great little, just completely inappropriate horror movie at Christmas time.
Yes, and another semi-honorable mention is next week's release, Alien vs. Predator Requiem, because I just want to call out their marketing campaign with the Silent Night.
Did you get an ornament?
No, I'm
you
totally
don't have a tree
mad
in the magical studio.
But I actually had someone at work that is a vigilant fan of that film that I wanted to give the ornament to.
See, I got the ornament and my kids and I opened it and I said, put it on the tree and see how long it takes your mom to realize that it's there. I put it right next to the figgy pudding.
Nice. Figgy McPudding, if you're in Ireland.
McPudding.
If you're Gerard
Butler. Yes, let's have some figgy McPudding.
Some figgy McPudding.
Ah, get out for my Lucky Charms.
Anyways, if you're still listening, we will be back here in a moment to do our patented sound off. So.
Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. And a cup of good cheer. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding.
And welcome back to Fat Guys, the Movies. It is time to sound off. If you are listening to us on the radio, I would highly suggest, if you have 30 minutes to spare, going and listening to the internet exclusive segment that
it's
we just
crazy
recorded.
The Chipmunks Return,
yes.
And we talk about Figgy Pudding the rapper.
Yes, we've created a new rapper, and he's putting it down. So, but it is time to sound off, and we're going to talk about some topics in the entertainment industry. The first one is the biggest headline of the year, maybe. Is that young Jamie Lynn Spears, age 16, is pregnant.
The only thing less scandalous is at least she wasn't playing Mary the Mother of Jesus like the girl last year who was underage.
In the Nativity story.
Yeah.
It was funny because I was in a video store the other day and I was talking to somebody. And,
well, you're making this sound very ominous.
Well, I mean,
was it one of those?
It's no secret
stores
that I work in a retail store that sells DVDs. So I'm standing there and a customer walks up and he's like, is this any good? And he shows me the Nativity story, and I went, ugh.
You shiver, and you throw up
like,
a little bit. You're like,
oh,
it's fine.
He's like, okay. And I was like, actually, no, I'm like, I heard it was okay, but I didn't like it at all. So, but Jamie Lynn Spears is pregnant. I guess there's a sub-story to this, isn't there?
Well, and the other thing that's funny, which is even weirder, is her mother was supposed to be writing a book on being a parent by a Christian publisher or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've put that on indefinite hold because... Jamie
obviously,
Lynn
she
Spears
sucks as a parent.
Yeah. Well, my question is, whether or not Jamie Lynn Spears got pregnant, why was she even allowed to consider writing this book? Take a look
right
at Britney Spears, for crying out loud.
Right.
I mean, did they sit there and say, look how good she turned out, let's get her and publish a book?
Their justification for that is that parenting skills are not genetic.
I guess
because
not.
If they were, woo. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly... It was her 19-year-old boyfriend. She's 16. They were in youth group together, which is, you know, really sweet. At least it wasn't Kevin Federline. Could be worse.
Because he'd take her baby, too, and then sue her, and she wouldn't show up in court.
I tell you what, it's...
What's really funny is since I got kids, they have Nickelodeon on all the time, and her shows, it's, what, Zoe 101 or something like that.
I don't know.
And I saw, we were watching it, and there was a preview, and I mentioned to my wife, I go, yeah, she's really cute, she's very attractive, she's got a good image. I said, I wonder if she's going to be able to turn out better than her sister. And like that was like 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, I got the answer, apparently. And what's so funny about it is not only, it's like she's announced she's pregnant, and there's like a cover story on a magazine about it. What is this world coming to?
Well, it's either that or have it leaked all over TMZ.
That just sounds disgusting.
There's a lot of people that I'm sure would like to take a leak all over TMZ.
Oh, nice. It's the father, though,
yeah,
is Figgy McPudding.
Figgy McPudding, the rapper.
That's right.
He's actually Kevin Federline's younger brother.
That's right, his Irish brother. Let's move on. We spent too much time on
this. The next topic is Mr. Jackson is going to do the Hobbit movie, which is pretty exciting.
This really bothers me.
Why?
He's
got such a... He's made some good films.
No, he hasn't.
Obviously.
He's done stuff in the past. He's just gotten really, really weird over the years, and he's become dangerous. And I have a real problem with Jackson doing this. This is not the venue for him. I don't think we need to give him any more money.
What are you talking about?
Talk about Michael Jackson. Haven't you seen?
No, Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson?
Not Michael Jackson.
Not Michael. Oh, Michael Jackson's not going to do the Hobbit.
No.
Oh, okay.
Michael Jackson's into Hobbit-like... creatures,
like kids.
Yes.
Yeah, but
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
The guy who directed King Kong.
King Kong, too long. That was my mantra.
Well, here's what I have to
say.
But
he's not going to direct The Hobbit, right?
No. Well, the rumor right now that we started at filmschoolrejects.com is that he's signed on to produce. They've finally gotten over the New Line, and Peter Jackson finally kissed and made up over the whole who gets the money from the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
One check to rule them all. But now Sam Raimi is being rumored as the director, which the interesting part about that is that Sam Raimi would have to abandon making another really crappy Spider-Man movie. So
well, no, you know who's
okay with that.
You know who's really going to direct it?
Mm.
Figgy McPudding.
McPudding is McGee's cousin.
That's right. Oh yeah, that's right.
So the next topic we have is that the Dark Knight trailer is out. Ooh, cool.
Just sounding off. You're not even going to wait for my opinion.
Yeah. What's your opinion of this? We just watched it.
It looks good. I have to say it looks good. I'm still holding back decisions.
Right. Obviously, I
want to see the movie.
You know, you can't say anything until the actual movie comes out. And I personally did not go see the prologue in IMAX because...
Even though you said you would.
Even though I said I was going to. I decided that,
why would
what?
We expect you to? You haven't seen any of the movie.
It's the first 6 minutes of the film. I'll wait till the film comes out. I love trailers. I love I love well-done trailers that don't show you everything in the movie. And I thought this trailer, as a trailer, was great. But it also gets me really kind of excited to finally see how Heath Ledger handles the Joker.
Yeah, see,
I think he's doing a good job so far.
I'm not totally sold. I got to wait to see the performance. The one thing I will say I like about what I've seen from the trailer is what bothered me about the first one is the ending. They're like, it's got to be huge, so we're going to crash this train through Gotham. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be. It got too big at the end.
Right.
It became too much of a Hollywood movie.
Right.
And it looks like they're at least doing what's appropriate here.
Right. So, I don't know. We'll see. But also, the next topic, this one's more of on a personal note. I'm just kind of angry right now.
Okay, take out your frustration.
About the Simpsons Blu-ray disc release. I reviewed it for Film School Rejects, and I gave it a D. And if I did not enjoy the Simpsons movie, it would have got an F-. Because it was the most worthless DVD I've ever bought.
Can you give an F-?
F-.
It's not just you failed.
You failed hard.
You really failed.
Yes. Here's the problem,
a good fan.
I was actually talking to somebody at work, and they were like, yeah, I bought the Simpsons movie on DVD, and I loved
it. Sucker.
And I looked at him, and I was like, hey, that's cool. You bought the regular DVD. I bought the Blu-ray. We both pretty much got the same disc. I paid $15 more.
The ironic thing is you could have put a caption in our caption contest and won a free DVD.
Right.
And not have paid anything for it.
And I could have just stolen one. It would have been great. Anyways, so I'm very angry.
Do not buy The Simpsons on
Blu-ray. Go buy it on regular DVD. It's a great movie, but not on Blu-ray. It's stupid. So, okay. And also, we need to announce our essential. We're doing the 12 days of essential Christmas movies, and we're up this weekend.
This weekend is
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah. So, we're talking the old, the cartoon one, which is an absolute classic. It's one of those movies
with Boris Karloff.
You've got to be watching it this time of year. So, all the Who's down in Whoville and stuff. Oh, the last topic. We got one more real quick.
Real quick.
Will Smith, the new trailer for his movie Hancock is out, and it looks pretty dumb.
It looks pretty bad, and he's a big star, and eventually he's going to fall. It might be this one or when he directs a movie. That's what's going
to be. All right. Well, anyways, we shall return to wrap you up momentarily. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, our last show before Christmas. We're going to roll through our review wrap-up right quick. First up, National Treasure 2. Kevin, you saw it?
Rocked.
And then you saw Walk Hard?
Which kind of rocked.
Kind of rocked, okay. And Charlie Wilson's War?
Kind of rocked.
P.S. I Love You, neither one of us saw, but...
Probably sucks.
We get a feeling that there's some suckage happening here.
Sorry, apologies to Neil's mom who loves Gerard.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, we'll, you
but
know,
he's
maybe,
dead in the movie, maybe, so what do you care?
Maybe. Oh, man. Maybe next week we'll have my mom call in and give us her review.
Have her call in. You're going to see her this week, I would imagine.
I am. Sweeney Todd, which I saw, which I said totally rocks. One of the best films of 2007 so far.
Right up there with Epic Movie.
Yep. And next week, we're going to have all kinds of fun. Talking about Alien versus Predator Requiem.
I'm going to see that on Christmas Day because they're not screening it for press.
So we're not recording till after Christmas, so we will definitely have a review. We're also going to talk about The Great Debaters with Denzel Washington and The Bucket List with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman.
That other guy.
And then The Water Horse, a strange movie, The Water Horse, which I heard was just weird.
No, It was okay.
All right, fair enough. So if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysofthemovies.com. You can also get us on the iTunes store. Just search Fat Guys of the Movies. We pop right up. And if you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. And if you'd like to finally give us an email, wish us a happy Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa.
Wow. Did you plan that, or is that something you heard somewhere?
I heard that somewhere.
Is that a Dane Cook comment?
Yes. No, it's not Dane Cook.
Thank God.
Just drop us a message over at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com.
And we'd like to also say Merry Christmas to everybody, and thank you for listening to us, all seven people out there.
Yeah.
And also a big shout-out and thank you to KGAB 650 AM in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Thank you for not pulling us off the radio
At least not yet. Next, we'll see what happens in the new year, especially after this episode.
Yes, I think next week we should do
the top 10 reasons why we're sorry we offended people in Wyoming.
We should do some New Year's resolutions for our show next week. So if you would like to suggest New Year's resolutions for Kevin and I, email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com.
We need to have a contest for that.
What? New Year's resolution? Yeah, movie related?
I'll tell you what. I will pick three random DVDs from my collection. You pick three random DVDs from your collection.
Yeah, and we'll start the contest next week.
Yes.
So I'll see if I can get us something even cooler, a really wicked cool giveaway.
Yeah, like people are going to be like, I don't want this Hallmark movie.
I might, I'm thinking maybe like an Iron Man poster or something. Yeah.
So. New Year's resolutions.
What should our resolutions be? Like I said, just happy non-denominational holiday to everyone out there. Stay safe out there, and we'll catch you after Christmas, right?
Ho, ho, ho.
Honey knows.
Christ. It's Hurricane Richard came through the studio here.
I'm sorry, listeners.